My four siblings and I used to play a game when we were younger. It was called the silent treatment. One of us would walk into a room, and if the other four of us were sitting there, we would not utter a word to the other sibling. And it was torture and it was painful for that sibling. And it ended with the person who was receiving the silent treatment either laughing or usually crying. We all know that being quiet is not very easy to do. And I admit I'm the first one who doesn't like quiet. Just ask my wife when she's watching a television show. I'm usually banished to the other room so she can watch in peace and quiet. But there are moments when silence is golden. In our parsha this morning of Shmini, we read of the death of Aaron's sons of Nadab and Abihu, and the reason they are killed, the reason why they die, is that they have offered a strange sacrifice, an Esh Zarah, to God, a sacrifice that was not commanded, and they received the harsh punishment of death. And when the Torah writes the reaction of their father Aaron to the death of his two sons, it says, Vayidom Aharon. Aaron was silent. The book of Eicha, the book of Lamentation, says that it is good to hope. It is good to hope in silence. The Hasidic rabbi, Semach Hashem Litzvi, writes that there are four different types of existence in this world. There is the inanimate existence, meaning the nonverbal, the silent. There is the vegetative, there is the animal, and there is us, the human being, who is verbal. And at some times in our lives, in difficult, painful moments, we go from being verbal to inanimate, completely silent, because it is too difficult for us to speak. But Rashi says, when Aaron was silent, when he went from the verbal to the inanimate, he actually received a reward. And that reward was the gift to hear God's voice. Rashi and Aaron understood that while we believe silence is emptiness, silence can actually be full of God's voice. And the Lubavitch Rebbe, when he advocated years ago for prayer in public schools and knew that he was going to lose that battle, actually then advocated for a moment of silence, because he understood that if there was a moment of silence for children, it would also be a time that they would be able to speak with God. There's a story of two rabbis who lived next to each other, and they happened to move away in the early 19th century. And one of the rabbi's assistants decided that he would be the messenger, the correspondent between the two rabbis. And so every week, he would take a letter from one rabbi and make the half day's walk journey to the other rabbi, and they would trade letters back and forth before Shabbat. And finally, after a couple of months, the messenger wanted to see. He was so curious what the rabbis were writing to each other, because the emotions were unbelievable. They were crying when they would read these letters. And finally, he peeked at the letters that they were writing, and what he saw was astounding. He saw blank pieces of paper in the envelope. And so he went to his rabbi and he said, I don't understand, this journey is useless. Every week I go back and forth and I'm delivering a blank paper. And his rabbi did not even flinch. He said to his assistant, he said, the Torah is written with black ink on white parchment. The black letters are the feelings that we feel, the things that we can express. But the white parchment, the silence, transcends those letters. This week, he said, my friend and I decided to correspond with the white parchment, the silence. At this moment during the Jewish calendar, we stand in between Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and Yom HaZikaron, as we remember the fallen soldiers of Israel. And in our day, on Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron, The silent treatment, the moments of silence are built into our day. And so, this week, I don't challenge us, but I ask us to give ourselves a silent treatment. To take those moments of silence, to hear that still small voice that searches for our soul each and every day. Shabbat Shalom.